The Dennis Stucky Show is on. Information 1380 WPHM.
All right, welcome back. The Dennis Stucky Show here on WPHM. Mark Brochu joined us last year, and I kind of like this idea. So as long as he'll keep coming back, I'm going to keep inviting him back before every football season, because there are differences between high school football and the other forms of football that you watch on TV or may go to. And I like to clear up any confusion that there might be, because this is one sport where I think the officials work very hard and they do a very good job for us. And I never really have any complaints when I'm out on a Friday night watching a high school football game. So, Mark, thanks for coming by.
Thank you for having me.
And it's the Eastern Michigan Officials Association. Did I get that right?
Yes.
Okay. And how long have you been head of this association?
I've been president for, they would like for life, I think, 3 or 4 years. I've told them I will not accept renewal for next year, so. This is my last year.
Okay. Well, you're doing a good job. And again, I think the crews that come out on Friday nights all do excellent work. Let's talk about some of the differences that we see in high school football as opposed to college or pro. I know one that I hear parents grumble in the stands a lot about is intentional grounding, and they scream about the tackle box.
Right.
And there is no tackle box in high school football, is there?
Right. Any attempt to intentionally incomplete a pass in high school is supposed to be intentional grounding. So there's no tackle box. There's no, in the vicinity of, the rule book is pretty clear. If they intentionally throw a ball away, whether it's out of the tackle box or in the vicinity, you're supposed to call intentional grounding.
Whether you're in the pocket or whether you're over on the sideline, right. If you throw the ball away on purpose or the official deems that you threw it away on purpose, you're going to get a flag in that situation. Are there any other really glaring differences or things that you might hear a lot of complaints about from coaches and parents who just don't understand?
Well, a lot of it's in the passing game. Obviously, one of the easier ones that people understand in high school, you only have to have 1 foot in bounds to complete a catch, whereas NFL has got to be 2. Pass interference is a little different. It's got to be a catchable pass in the higher levels. In high school, that doesn't pertain to it at all. There's no judgment. If one change this year that moves towards similarity is in the pass, face guarding, any attempt by the defensive back with their back to the ball to obstruct the vision of the receiver is pass interference by, face guarding. This year they eliminated that. You're not to call pass interference unless there is contact between the defensive back and the receiver. So that'll help a little bit.
And that is one, again, that gets a lot of groans from people. They see a ball thrown 30 yards over a kid's head, and the kid's laying on the ground, and out comes that flag, and everybody wants to scream, "It's not a catchable pass."
Right, right.
Doesn't
and the receiver, the official says, "Yeah, but the rule is different."
Yeah.
So, yeah, that makes it a little frustrating, but it's what you deal with.
Yeah. You have the same number of officials in high school as you would at any other level, correct?
You can have up to 7, and in the metropolitan areas, they're going with 7. In this area, I don't know of anybody that's going above 5, which instead of 3 deep officials, we only have 1 in the center of the field. But all the metropolitan areas are going to, and all the semifinals and finals of the state tournament are done with 7 officials now.
Okay.
Which makes life a lot easier, especially when a team's pass with only 5 officials, that wing official is often put in this circumstance where it's unclear whether it's going to be a run or pass. You're kind of in no man's land, and you have to cheat back to where the ball is and hope there isn't a deep sideline route that you're going to have to rule on from a long way away.
I know for safety reasons, they altered kickoffs last year. Explain that to us again.
Yeah, again, this year there has to be four men on either side of the kicker. And if it's doesn't happen, then it's, the ball is supposed to be immediately blown dead. That's to prevent overloading one side. The other rule that was changed this year, there's one of the there aren't a lot, is that you can't do the pop-up kick where the, you know, these players and coaches are good. They mm-hmm. find a little loophole in the rule. So, you know, under an onside kick strategy, the ball has to go 10 yards and has to touch the ground before the defense can recover it. So one of the ways that they would get around it is immediately have the kicker drive the ball into the ground. That solves the touch the ground thing, and then as soon as it goes 10 yards, they can catch it in the air and be successful. Now if they immediately drive the ball in the ground, that's an automatic penalty there.
Okay, so that's going to cost them, what, 5 yards?
5 yards, and they'll do it over.
Well, that'll be interesting to watch, because I can guarantee you we'll see that several times this year before they get used to it.
Right.
They've also changed, too, how much of a running start you right. can get, too, on the kickoff.
And even that, where there's a subtle difference. In high school, you have to be totally within 5 yards, whereas in college and pro, if you're straddling the 5-yard line away from the free kick line, you're good. Whereas high school, you can't be even touching that 5-yard line. The only exception is the kicker, obviously, can do his run up. And sometimes you see the coaches try to be fancy about that, where they'll have their kicker lined up one way, ready to kick, take the run at it, and another guy kicks it the other direction. Well, if that kicker doesn't kick the ball that started more than 5 yards, that's automatically a penalty.
All right. There are differences with extra points. You see a lot on two-point conversions. Maybe a kid intercepts the ball or picks up a fumble. College or pro, they can run that right. back and score points. Can't do that in high school.
Yeah, that's a point of emphasis. Make it simple for everybody to understand. The defense, only the offense can score on a high school PAT.
And the overtime as well, you'll see it too. Can the defense, other than a safety, which I think would be pretty hard to get,
right.
because you have to get a 90-yard loss to right. get the guy into the end zone. But other than a safety, the defense can't score in overtime, can it?
No, they can just end the try for the offense.
I maybe would like to see that rule changed.
That's pretty exciting when you're...
If you think about it, if a kid intercepts the ball at the goal line and he can take it back all the way, that would kind of be an exciting way to end an overtime game. Yep. But it's not the rule.
Right, right. Another thing they changed this year is, technically it was legal for, if you had a really quick nose guard on defense, if they're really fast and if the snapper was slow, technically... Before this year, when the snap started, they could try to swat the ball. Now, they can't swat the ball. Once the snap, you got to allow the snapper to complete the snap. Now,
I think that's a good rule, too, because that's going to keep somebody from getting steamrolled and hurt.
Yes.
And I think a lot of the rules that they put in nowadays are designed around protecting the kids. What do they tell you about concussions and things like that? What's an official supposed to do in terms of allowing a player to come back into a game or telling them that they have to leave the game?
The number one rule is the state tells us we have no authority over that determination. Our job is to notify the coach that the player needs to be looked at. At that point, it's strictly, and I'm sure this is for liability reasons, it's strictly up to the coach and the designated health official on the sideline to make that determination. We're responsible after that point. If the coach says he's done for the night, we need to write it up and send the report into the state. So they're crystal clear that we're not to make and be involved in that determination. Now, if a guy comes back on and obviously, you know, you're going to go back and plead your case, you really need to protect this kid. But we have no authority to say a kid can't play.
Okay, that's good to know, too, and that's probably fair for you guys, too.
Yeah, it certainly protects us liability-wise.
What else? Have they made any other changes for this coming football season?
Well, you know, most of them is emphasis or better definitions. And again, like you said, it's all towards driving towards more safety. One thing they knew this year is a blindside block where players focus on the ball and not seeing the approaching blocker. In order to be legal, they have to initiate that block with their hands. So, you know, used to be the crackback block. Mm-hmm. You know, they did clean that up. Now they're just saying anywhere on the field, if you're going to take out a blocker and they're not reasonably expected to know you're there, you have to start that block with your hands.
I did see a play last year in a game. I want to say it might have been the Northern Port Huron High game, but there was a big-time hit on a scoring play, and the flag was thrown, and at the time I thought it was a good hit. I think everybody in the stadium thought it was a good hit, but it was explained to me afterwards by the official that he threw the flag again. It was kind of a safety thing. It was from out of nowhere, and that kid had no idea that
right.
player was there, and they're
right.
just trying to protect the player.
Right. And it's almost like back not too many years ago, you would hear the sidelines yelling people, light them up. And that was really code to hurt somebody. And, you know, if you're giving it, it's one thing, but if you're on the receiving end, it's, you know. So they've done a lot to just clean that up. It used to be if you had to be well out of the play. Now it's anywhere on the field. If you're blindsiding somebody, you're going to initiate the block with your hand so nobody gets needlessly hurt.
Another question that somebody asked me the other day was like a play clock. Now, we don't have a play clock up on the board, but there is the official that keeps the play. Is it the same all the time? And how many seconds are you supposed to have in between plays?
Well, one of the options, this is a second year that's available, and the bigger schools are doing it because they have the stadiums can go a 40-second clock visible in the stadium where as soon as that play is clearly ended, they start the 40-second clock. That's what I think all officials would like to go to, so it's crystal clear to everybody. Right now we're still in our area mostly dealing with 25-second clock. And what becomes a controversy is they really want 40 seconds between plays. So they really are encouraging officials to in the past, once the ball was spotted, you whistled the play ready with the whistle, ready for play whistle. Now they really want you to sit on that a little while. Why don't they just go with 40 seconds? I don't know. That'd be a lot easier. But they want to give apparently the coaches more time to get the play in, and that's fine. Officials just want it to be simple. Whatever
yeah,
you decide, just be simple. Yeah,
right.
Yeah. So sometimes the controversy comes in when the official is being very deliberate, and they say maybe 8 to 10 seconds after the ball is placed, then they chop it in. Well, nobody notices that until the end of the game where that offensive team is trying to run the clock down, and suddenly the coach is now screaming, wait a minute, why are you holding the ready for play? The big emphasis is whatever you do is do it consistently from the first quarter through that end of the game.
All right, perfect. Mark, enjoy it. Thanks for doing this and kind of filling us in on some of the differences and some of the new rules for the upcoming high school football season.
Thank you very much.
Where are you at this week?
Ethically, we're not supposed to tell people where we're going to be. So I have games on Thursday and Friday, so looking forward to it.
But I'll just be broadcasting.
Right.
All right. Mark Brochu joining us here on the program. Take a final break, and then I'll be back to wrap things up in just a moment. It's the Dennis Stuckey Show. We're here Monday through Friday from 3 until 5 here on AM 1380 WPHM.